Doggy boy, go crash.
Justice Wisconsin, the truth. The most requested advocate in the state. 101.7 FM. The movement continues. Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
Milwaukee, stand yeah. up, yeah. stand up.
It's Tory Lowe, the truth, from one to four. We about that action, so tap in and let's go. We want that justice, we want all the smoke. From Monday through Friday, trying to bring the city hope. Yeah, Tory Lowe from one to four, Monday through Friday, let's go. We about that action from the block, and we ready, let's go. Tap in, and it ain't no holding back, we ready.
101, saving the truth. Tory Lowe, Tory Lowe Show, live from American Family Insurance Studio at the Avenue. The movement continues. The marathon continues right here on 101.7 The Truth. Thank you for joining me for the second hour of the Tory Lowe Show. And we're going to keep Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson over for a segment. Ben Jeremy, what's going on? What's happening in?
Oh, man, this is amazing. This is amazing. I just love how the universe comes together. Okay, no pun intended. We have Milky Way Tech Hub in the building.
Milky Way Tech Hub.
Yes, yes. We have Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson on the line. And I mean, honestly, the blurredness in me is just gushing right now. Okay, because I love to go down the rabbit hole. I really do. Mm-hmm. I really do. So with that being said, Neil deGrasse Tyson, I have a question I have to ask you. Because this is another thing that came out in recent news, maybe about 2 months ago. You had mentioned something about the Egyptian pyramids. Well, about 2 months ago, Neil, and I'm pretty sure you know where I'm going, they went on to go say that they found about four different pillars sitting underneath the pyramids, which would actually, or some people would say, it kind of proves the notion that the Egyptian pyramids were actually a power plant, so to speak, at one point in time. Does that ring a bell for you at all?
No. Let me remind you, by the way, there are people who said like the pyramids were built by aliens or whatever, or advanced, even in a movie, you know, and I'm kind of, I'm resistant to that sentiment. Of mm-hmm. course I would be, but that doesn't change the fact that I happen to like the movie Stargate, which is built on the premise that Egyptians came through a portal from an alien civilization and aliens built it. The point, here's something to consider.
Okay.
I'm thinking if aliens came to Earth and they directed operations or power plants, whatever, we would have artifacts a little more sophisticated than rocks, okay? Mm. Or bricks, all right? The pyramid is made of bricks, not unobtainium or some element that we've never seen here on Earth. So to anyone who's denying the brilliance of those who made it, who were local and Egyptian and of the continent, is in denial of how ingenious the human mind can be, especially with great desire to build the civilization that was built. In terms of a power plant, there was no electricity back then. No one harnessed it yet. We have very good evidence of that. And in other words, if they did, we know what else they could have done. But to build the pyramids, it just takes time and people, okay?
But Neil,
longer than it takes anything to build today. So yeah, I'm cool with everything we have established about what is true with those pyramids.
But Neil, when we've been thinking about the idea of electricity, right? We have, you know, here in the 21st century, right? A lot of the times when we're thinking about how electricity is conducted, we use nuclear energy to give us this electricity that we use yep. in today's time, especially here in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. We all use we energies, right? but at the same time, there's other ways that somebody can go about inventing electricity or using and harnessing the world's energy out there. I mean, Nikola Tesla, he
right, but you have to know that you have to know that that's a harnessable resource, and that was not known until basically the writings of Benjamin Franklin.
Okay.
He has a book called Experimental Researches into Electricity. He was famous across Europe not for being a founding father of the colonies of the new United States of America, but for his work as a scientist.
Gotcha.
He was the toast of the town for that research. Then when you know that electricity is a thing, then you start doing experiments with it, and experiments has to be a thing that you do. Mm. That would come way later than the pyramids, all right? modern science as we know it is not that old.
Right.
And so that's why civilization has, we've gone from horse and buggy to moon landings within 60 years.
Interesting. That's
only possible because of the methods and tools of science, science, technology, engineering, and math. And so, yeah, you can generate energy any one of, you know, a dozen ways that we can just list off the top of our head.
Gotcha.
But you got to know what you're doing with it. And in the end, you're creating electricity that goes over wires into your appliance.
Well, I got a question, doctor.
Bring it on.
There's a guy named Moses West, and he's going around generating water from air. And there, how come this is not his invention, is not being incorporated in our daily lives?
Well, air, pure air, does not contain the ingredients to make water. So pure air is mostly nitrogen in a molecular form, N2 it's called, and that is 78% nitrogen. It's 20 and 21% oxygen in the form of O2, and is 1% other things, including the greenhouse gases, carbon dioxide, a little bit of methane, depending on where you are in the world, especially around farms and decomposing permafrost from life forms that have decomposed anaerobically and are releasing methane. Very big greenhouse gas. Point is, if he's pulling water out of the air, the water he's getting is the water that's already there.
Right.
The humidity that's already there. Not a problem with that. By the way, you do that every single time. You put ice in a glass, pour some liquid that you're going to drink, and moisture beads up on the outside of the glass. When I was a kid, I was mystified by this because I said to myself, is the water passing through the glass from the inside? And I did some experiments. I say, no, it must be getting it from the atmosphere. That's the humidity of the atmosphere. So fine. If he's succeeding in doing that, he is taking the moisture out of the air. So, by the way, you see this on air conditioners that drip.
Okay? Right.
The dripping out of air conditioners.
That's right.
Is the air condensing from the moisture, the moisture condensing from the humid air on the coils, and then the coils melt out and it drips down on the sidewalk. So, okay. So, what's he going to do about it? What's he doing with it?
Right. Interesting.
So, now I would love to switch gears just a little bit and talk about the Big Bang Theory.
Ooh.
Okay.
The TV show?
No, not the TV show. But, you know, there are some people who...
By the way, if you type into Google search, Bang Theory, the first thing that comes up is the TV show.
Yeah, I
don't know
that.
If I should be happy or sad by that.
I'm sad about that. but let's talk about it. So the Big Bang Theory, there are people who believe in the Big Bang Theory, and there are others who absolutely do not. And so for those who don't necessarily believe in the Big Bang Theory, how do you answer the question, if the Big Bang Theory actually happened, then what initiated it? Because I'm a believer that anything that begins to exist has a cause. What are your thoughts?
So, are you a very strong believer in that? The reason why I ask is, before we had more developed ideas regarding a multiverse, the question of what was around before the Big Bang, you know, we don't have a good answer for that. And so I'd be in a conversation with someone and they'd say, and I say, well, we have top people working on it. Well, something had to be there. I said, we don't know. Somebody say, God would have been it. And I said, well, okay. Then who created God? And they just say God always was. And they're content with that answer. But if I told you the universe always was, I don't know if you'd be content with that answer. But somehow, theologically, people are content with God having always existed as the prime mover. So I'm saying, as a scientist, to quote a poem by the German poet Rainer Maria Rilke, to quote part of the poem, the scientist on the frontier needs to learn to love the questions themselves. Because at any given moment, a question on the frontier does not have an answer. That's why we're working on the frontier. So I'm going to say, at the beginning of time, we're working on that. Right now, our universe might be one bubble of many bubbles that are punched out in what we call a multiverse. But that just moves the question farther back.
Right.
What created the multiverse? And so And so origin stories are some of the more challenging questions to answer scientifically, especially if only a single thing was created from that origin. And back when people thought Earth was unique in the universe, the only account we had of the formation of the Earth was biblical Genesis. And then we look around with telescopes when they get invented, say, wait a minute, we see stars being born and there are these things orbiting those. Oh, those are planets. Oh, that must be how we formed, because we're orbiting an ordinary star just like that one in our telescope.
Right.
And so in the case of the origin of the planets and of stars, we have other examples of it to compare with. When the thing is singular, it's just a much harder question to address.
Let me ask you this question, Neil, because, again, as we are talking about space and all these other things, I have a question for you. Last time you were here, we actually talked about the idea and concept of time travel. And I want to say, you could correct me if I'm wrong, but I want to say that you said that Interstellar was the movie was one of the movies that kind of had got it right, the idea of time traveling. Well, now, and I'm pretty certain that he's a colleague of yours, or you may know of him, but a gentleman, and I'm going to chop his name up, I'm so sorry about this, but Michio Kaku? Michio Kaku. He goes on to say that time travel is now simply an engineering problem. Do you agree with that?
Time travel, you can time travel on paper. We have the equations that will enable you to do that. But you need a configuration of matter that we don't yet know how to create. You need something that has negative gravity that we then wield and control. So negative when gravity. You do that, you can pry open holes in the universe. Think of a black hole, which has sort of positive gravity, all right? It brings everything in. Mm-hmm. If we had a substance that had negative gravity and you put it in the equations, you can create a structure in the fabric of space-time where there are paths through that where you can end up going backwards in time and forwards in time. So in that sense, Michio Kaku is correct. It's just a matter of building that. But we would need a substance that does not yet exist and may never exist.
That's interesting.
So in that sense, he's overstepping a little, but he's still fundamentally correct. But it's not like, oh, just a few years before we have an electric car or a combustion engine. No, it's not that kind of, it's just engineering problem. No.
See, and I'm not going to lie to you, Neil, because I consider myself to be a futurist. And I don't necessarily say that, you know, we can travel back in time.
Wait, are you an Afrofuturist?
Ooh, I am an Afrofuturist. I am an Afrofuturist. You
His
know?
Beard.
You
know,
the early Afrofuturists, there have been many, but George Clinton, a Parliament Funkadelic, Afrofuturist, you know. His album, what was it, Mothership Connection, all right? He's stepping out of a flying saucer. There's a lot of this. This goes back. So you are in a very proud tradition.
Oh, thank you so much.
Afrocentrist.
No, thank you so much, because I have this.
I'm an Afrofuturist.
Afrofuturist. I have this idea and concept, Neil, and I truly believe that we are inventing, so to speak, the vehicle that we're going to use to do time travel. I think us having all these recordings and things like that one day somehow some computer will be saving all of this data, and virtual reality or augmented reality wise, we'll be able to go back and forth through time. Have you ever thought about that concept before?
Well, so what do you think the film Total Recall was about? And that goes back, was it to the 80s even,
right,
or 90s? Total Recall, instead of paying to go on a vacation, you sit in a chair and I don't remember how they did it precisely, inject you or put some module on your head, and your brain goes on a vacation.
Mm.
And you can go to Acapulco, you can go to India, you can go to Africa, and then you're done.
Kind of like the Matrix.
Cheaper than an actual vacation, and you have all the same memories you would have had otherwise.
Interesting.
So if you're only talking about what your brain is going to do,
that's a form.
It's possible that in the future we can just send your brain on these trips, either forward or backwards in time, informed by all of our written and oral knowledge of what that was and might be. And then you can have you as they say, you'll be tripping.
Wow. You are so crazy, dude.
We got some talk to text. We got some people in the chat that want to ask a question. Not really.
Bring them on. Don't leave them out there hanging.
Not really. A city girl says, can you ask Neil if he could instantly, if he could instantly teach every human on earth one specific concept or truth, what would it be and why?
Oh, two things. If they allow me, two things. One of them is that the universe is knowable. Okay. That's an important, dare I call that a revelation of science? It didn't have to be that way. Every part of every part of the universe could have had different laws operating there, but the laws of physics we derive in a laboratory based on all the experiments we conducted tell us that they apply across the universe and across time. So the universe is knowable, A. B, I would encourage people.
That sounds like the Akashi records.
Okay. Well, no. Well, that implies that all that knowledge is there, and I'm not convinced of that. Okay.
Okay.
At that time. And plus, today we have
energy. Energy can't be created nor destroyed, Neil.
Well, yeah. Well, you can turn energy into matter, and in that way, you can destroy it.
I think that's just another form, though, isn't it?
Oh, wow.
It's another form of matter.
It changes form.
I appreciate a new response for that. Thank you, Neil.
Good stuff.
Logged
man.
Away.
What you'd have to say is the combination of energy and matter
is
a constant, as far as we know, as far as we have measured. So my point is, if the universe is knowable, and if you retain the curiosity you once had as a child long into adulthood, then you will be a truth seeker of all that is objectively true in the world.
Right.
And with the knowledge that the universe is knowable, it means unsolved problems will beckon for your attention so that they can succumb to your curiosity. And when you make those discoveries, you will stand on a new vista looking out into the great beyond,
right,
asking questions that today cannot even be imagined, because we're not standing in the place where those questions manifest themselves.
Well, let me ask you this then, Neil, because we do have Nadia Johnson in here, the CEO and founder of the Milky Way Tech Hub. And we were talking about these ideas that we can't possibly fathom. AI can fathom these ideas, correct? What do you think the future of AI is going to lead all of humanity? Do you think we're going to one day just be infused with it? We'll be cyborgs one day and we'll all...
Yes. What are your thoughts on AI? Do you use AI a lot, Neil?
We've used AI in my field ever since it was possible to use it. Anything that'll make our jobs easier, we're going to use it, because then we can invest our time, energy, emotion into other things that the computing power has yet to reach. So the real question is, what happens in the day when we have nothing left to do? Well, will that really happen? And here's where I think is the line in the sand between being human and being AI. AI, because we have built this thing called the internet, where all books have been loaded, because we have built it, that is the source of all the knowledge, wisdom, and insight ingested by AI. But if you take a walk on a beach and you discover a new mollusk, a new shell of some kind, and you pick it up, and you say, wow, this is not in any catalog. This is not in any book. AI doesn't know that yet. AI wasn't taking the walk on the beach. AI doesn't know what is not yet discovered. It is completely clueless because it is founded on the knowledge that we've already provided it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't mean clever AI can't find new solutions to problems that we didn't figure out. It's been doing that for a long time. One of the fun ones that I remember is, you know, you ever see a juggler juggle? You can juggle balls in a circle, or you can sort of pass one across the other, three balls, and you handed the juggling challenge to AI, and it found another mode of juggling that no one thought of before. That was cool, okay? And it finds ways of winning at games that our mere human minds haven't figured out.
Gotcha.
But when it comes time to discovering something that has never been known before, I don't see AI crossing that line. And I think about it. You can show AI a picture of all of us on this screen.
Right.
I know many people are hearing this just audio, but the four of us are like Brady Bunch style on a screen right now. Mm-hmm. And if you handed that to AI and said, paint this scene in the style of Van Gogh, it will come back with a perfectly rendered thing that, yeah, that's how Van Gogh would have painted it. It did a better job than any of us would have done when given the same task.
Interesting.
But if you then say, paint this scene in a manner in which no artist has ever represented it before, AI's got nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it might come up with something, but right. That doesn't mean it'll be good.
Because I see what you're saying, Anil, because at the end of the day, AI all operates off of a particular data set.
Correct.
It only knows the data that you've
inserted. And like I said, it can solve problems
right.
that are not in the data set, but to discover something, would AI have discovered the theory of general relativity? I don't think so. It's not because I don't want it to, just that based on how it's constructed today,
that was
I don't see that happening.
Right. Well, you know what?
It doesn't have the spark of innovation that we get just walking barefoot in the sand, sitting on the toilet,
right.
looking up in a rainstorm.
So you're saying the spark of innovation is what separates us from the robots.
Well, you know what, Neil?
There it is.
You know what, Neil? Let me ask you this question.
Thanks for saying in one sentence what I tried to say in 10 minutes.
Okay. I'm good at that. I'm good for that.
Right. Good summing it up. I mean, that's
and we got some. I got some questions in the chat.
Man, the chat is really going crazy right now. Like, they got some really
bring
great
the chat
questions.
In. I'm tired of hearing you guys.
That's what I'm saying. The chat, like, y'all hogging up all the questions. The chat getting upset. Okay, so this is what they got to say in the chat. RC says, why is space not streaming with life? Why is the earth loaded with life? Evolution is the ability to adapt. Space should be highly populated.
It might be. In our catalogs, like I said, I think I said earlier, we're rising through nearly 6,000 exoplanets, planets orbiting other stars. We're right now looking for life on them.
Right.
And those 6,000 planets, if you look at a map of the whole Milky Way galaxy, it's self-containing hundreds of billions of stars, that those exoplanets occupy a tiny little circle, a tiny little sphere around the sun.
Mm.
So we've barely scratched the surface. The Milky Way might be teeming with life. We don't know it yet.
Mm. And also we got a question. Please ask Neil about this week's announcement that Russia has tracked what happens to the human soul when you die. They say our souls go to a planet 1 billion light years away.
Mm.
This is Eddie.
Let him join.
Hi, Eddie.
Why do you say it like that?
Yeah. You and Benjamin are looking all the same.
On the same blocks.
Hey.
Oh, wow.
There's no, other than the emotions that people express and the religions that say much about it, there's otherwise no evidence that you have a soul or anything happens to you at death other than you are immolated in a crematorium or you are decomposed as flora and fauna dying upon you in the earth. By the way, when X-rays were discovered back 125 years ago, its medical applications were instantly obvious, all right? You can see bones through your flesh. So it immediately was absorbed up into hospitals. But with it in the hospitals, people wondered, if you know a person's about to die, why don't we X-ray them while they're dying and see if you can see anything rising up out of their body?
Right.
And I'm thinking, great, that's how you need to think as a scientist if you have a hypothesis and you want to test if it's true. So all the dead bodies, they went and looked at it, and no, nothing rose up out of the body.
I thought that was the Tesla. They said that the Tesla screen was getting the dead bodies on the Tesla screen. You heard about that one.
Yeah, so any claim that not only is the soul real, but the Russians found a planet where they're all going, becomes less and less credulous the more you drive down that path.
Well, let me ask you this question, Neil, because we do have
no, to... No! Go back to your people online.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. Right. That's what I'm doing for you, Neil. I got you, bro.
Well, I got one question. They said that... Okay, let me... I'll say
you
this.
You want to ask it? Go ahead, bro.
Because this is the... You know, he want to grab a chat question.
Yep.
They said that when are you going to have a debate with Terrence Howard?
I'd rather you have a debate with me, Neil.
Hey. This is what you wanted to hear with the chat.
Let me shoot my shot.
Chat,
not
this
Terrence.
Is what the chat wanted to
okay,
know.
So I have said my piece regarding
right,
Terrence Howard.
He did.
It is online. It is very findable. And I'm impressed that, in fact, it has more views than the original Joe Rogan episode
right.
where he called me out. Regarding his ideas that the whole history of mathematics is wrong and he is correct. Mm. See, that's where he's coming from. Yeah. I don't debate people because that implies that the person with the most charisma and the best vocabulary and that's the person whose ideas are correct. So I have no interest ever in debating anyone ever. And there's an old saying, if an argument lasts more than 5 minutes, then both sides are wrong.
Yeah.
It's not always true,
oh, wow.
but it's an right. it's an interesting
mm-hmm.
guiding.
That is
force.
Interesting.
So yeah, I just have I don't debate people.
That's interesting, Neil. Now I have another person on the YouTube chat board. They go on to say,
"Are you sure it's not you faking your question?"
It's giving. This is
a question I would ask because it takes me down my rabbit hole, Neil. But it goes on to say. Neil, do you think that the universe evolved to make us conscious, or does consciousness evolve to did consciousness evolve to help the universe?
Ooh. So a related statement would be humans are a way for the universe to know itself.
Ooh.
Okay.
Because
we have this, it's not just consciousness, but intellect. No one would deny, anyone who owns dogs or cats would deny that they have a consciousness, all right? So we're not unique in the world where we have conscious or even subconscious thoughts. So the thing is, your consciousness, if you've ever been around someone aging who's suffered a series of small strokes, bit by bit, their identity goes away.
Mm.
First they, you know, in whatever sequence, they can't speak anymore. They don't recognize you. They don't know. They have to be retaught how to do things.
Right.
And ultimately, some final stroke takes them out. But while they're descending, they're losing their consciousness. So to say your consciousness is a thing, and when you die, it goes somewhere else, and it lands somewhere, much the same way people describe your soul.
Right.
It's a thing. No, as all evidence shows, that it's electrochemical synaptic process in your brain. And when those processes cease, when there's no longer oxygen going through your brain and the cells die,
right.
it takes your consciousness with it.
Mm.
And your consciousness, so to don't overvalue the role of your consciousness in the existence of the universe.
Neil, are you researching anything right now? Of course you are. What are
no,
you
not as, so I have ideas to pick up.
Okay.
So here's my fantasy, however delusional this fantasy is. Okay, when I visit cities, I'm responding to their curiosity,
mm-hmm.
and I do it because I can. And I have colleagues who are a little bit on the spectrum. They it wouldn't work for them, but they're in the lab, and that's where I want to be.
Right.
But if I didn't do what I'm doing, I almost feel like I'd be irresponsible. If I have the ability to reach thousands of people
sure.
at a stretch, at a pop, and then I choose not to.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you this, I'm my hope, I don't like hoping because that means you want an outcome that you don't control what
it's
leads
without
to
strategy.
I foresee the day where there are enough other people online bringing science to you, and there are many there right now, by the way, there's enough of them so that I'm just kind of in the mix. And then I step backwards, exit the rear door, go to my lab, and no one notices.
Mm-hmm.
Because the richness of science being delivered has hit such a high level.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go back to the lab and pick up my research projects that I've had in mind. That's my possibly delusional plan for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Also, one last question. Is God... the theory of God in not theory, but the belief in God in science. Most people who believe in science tend to not believe in God, and most people who believe in God tend to not put science in a high space.
So what you said is not entirely true. Mm-hmm. So let me clarify. So the Black church, historically in America, however evangelical they have been, have never been the people knocking on the science classroom trying to tell them that might not necessarily be right and you should teach biblical Genesis as science. The Black religious community in the United States has never done that, that I have ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
It tends to be the white community, the orthodox, not orthodox, what's the word, devout, the far left Christian. There's a word for them. What do we call them?
Evangelicals.
The evangelicals. They who treat the Bible as the word of God and the unerring truth.
Right.
Which means if a scientific result arises that differs from it, they will reject the science in favor of the religion. Mm. Well, you get to do that in a country that protects the free expression of religion. Mm. It just means you'll never be a scientist and contribute to the advancing frontier of our knowledge of the physical universe. That's cool. Fine. In a free society, no one should force you to do anything. Where I said you were not entirely correct is that most scientists, more than 50% of scientists, will claim a personal God to whom they pray,
mm-hmm.
with scientists as a group. That is way less than the general population in the United States, which is up above 80%. That
right.
used to be higher, by the way, up in the 90s. That's dropped to around 80 in favor of people who identify with just simply being spiritual, and they don't associate themselves with organized religion. That's what's been dropping over the years, the participation in organized religions.
Wow.
So those scientists, however, do not run around saying, those that I'm referring to who are active scientists on the frontier are not saying the universe is 10,000 years old, created in 6 days. They're more likely to, as recent popes of the Catholic Church have embraced, they're more likely to say things like, yes, of course, evolution is true, but at some point, the branch of great apes that would become humans was infused with a soul by the Spirit of God, and that would then become human. So that's their way of conjoining a religious worldview with the science.
That's interesting.
Because science is what gives us the civilization that we know and usually love about what it is to live in modern times. So being a scientist is not one and the one the same thing as being an atheist. Uh-huh. And so I just want to just make that clear.
Right.
Right. Well, you know what?
Thank you.
Thank you so much,
reply
Neil.
To that.
Yeah, thank you so much, Neil, mm-hmm. Neil deGrasse Tyson, for joining us today.
Yes.
I mean, this has actually been an amazing conversation.
Incredible.
Again, I mean,
wasn't I only supposed to be on for 10 minutes?
It was only supposed to be 10, but you know how it goes, man, when the universe aligns.
Y'all just blabbing away, and I'm trying to get out of here.
Oh. It's all good, man. Make sure that
wonderful.
You guys go down to the Riverside Theater tonight to go see Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson perform. He will be talking about any and everything that just came in to the universe out there in the news, whether it's aliens, whether it's what's going to happen with the universe in the next coming years. He'll be talking about all those things. But the one last question I do have for you, Neil, and we're talking about, you know, the idea of the multiverse and parallel universes. I want to know, Neil, in real time today, since it is Nadia Johnson's birthday, and she is going to attend your event tonight, would you be able to sign, autograph her book for her?
Are you her spokesperson?
Well, I'm a good friend.
Oh, wow.
She's a good friend, and I do have it, and I've been a big fan forever, and it's my birthday.
Okay. I will do it if she asks me, not
if
I
ask.
Will you please sign my book to Tyson?
Delighted to. I'm honored and delighted.
Very cool.
Okay, we'll find you this evening.
Very cool. My people leak with your people.
Thank you
exactly.
so much.
That's all good. Thank you so much, Dr. Tyson, for calling in today.
Thank you so much. We appreciate
there.
You. Mm-hmm. When you come back around, come back on.
Yeah. And then
thanks for remembering me.
Yeah, no problem, man. And I mean, really, you know, you've impacted all of our lives. You've impacted the blurs in us, you know. And then truthfully, I mean, we're only about 2 minutes away from where your event is taking place at tonight. So we will see you tonight.
You will see you tonight.
Can I slip something in real quick? You have like 2 minutes?
Go right ahead.
Go ahead.
It's real quick. It's real quick.
Okay.
Okay. I gave a talk in Southern Georgia one time. And in the Q&A, there's like a VIP Q&A at the end. A guy stands up. I gave him one of my movie talks. Where I showed the scene from Back to the Future where Marty lands in Farmer Peabody's ranch and Peabody chases after him with a shotgun. And one of the shots hits the Peabody mailbox and the mailbox just explodes as he escapes safely. The guy raises his hand and said, you have a question? He says, I wanted to comment on a statement you made about the movie Back to the Future. I said, oh, did I get something wrong? He says, no. I'm a nerd redneck.
A redneck nerd.
Self-identified.
Oh, wow.
Hear this out, okay? I'm a nerd redneck, and so there's something I want to tell you about that scene. And I said, bring it on. And he said that the shotgun they used, the size of the pellets was already revealed in a previous shot that punched a bunch of holes in the barn door and light beams came through, Steven Spielberg style. So you can see what it did. He said that shotgun would not have just blown apart the mailbox. It would have just put holes in the mailbox. Hmm. And I'm thinking, that's a nerd redneck comment to make. And then I said, have you heard of blurds? And he said, no. I said, well, those are black nerds. We need a word for you.
Oh, okay? Wow.
So we spent a minute, and I said, how about nerdnecks?
Nerdnecks.
And he said, fine. And so on that day was born the term nerdnecks. And I looked online. There's whole websites called, there's one called Hillbilly Engineering and Redneck Engineering. And I thought to myself, this is a community of people who, if they associate with being a nerd at all,
right,
it means objective truths matter to them. In the part of the world that they are experts in, the truth matters. That's why he wanted to add that information about it. And so deep in the bayous, we have a kindred spirits of people who will care about objective truths. And it may be that at the end of the day, the nerds have to rise up and take back the country.
Nerds gonna have to rise up. Okay.
Hey, no, man, you're right.
And you know that passage in the Bible? And the passage in the Bible, and the geek shall, it says, and the meek shall inherit the earth. It's been rumored that was mistranslated, and it should have been, and the geek shall inherit the earth.
Oh, wow.
Maybe. Geek squad. Maybe.
It seems like it, man. We got Elon Musk running the world. We got Bill Gates and everybody else in tech running the world. So I think you're right with that, Neil. Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you so much for calling in, man. And we definitely got to come out and see you tonight. If you guys don't know Truth Nation, make certain that you hit the Riverside Theater tonight to go see Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson. He will talk about everything that just in news, from aliens to the expansions of the universe to all these brand new discoveries.
All of that.
So, thank
if somebody
you again.
Teach this man how long 10 minutes is.
I tried for the last year.
Neil, in a separate parallel universe, you know, 10 minutes might equate to 3 days, you know. Mm-hmm. So
that's not gonna get you out of this one.
All right, we appreciate you.
Universe, all right, doctor, thank you for joining
see
the show.
All
right,
have a great time tonight. Hey, look, when we come back, Truth Nation, we'll have more conversation. Stay locked in right here on Tory Lowe.
Don't touch that dial. The Tory Lowe Show will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Check. Straight up. Dog. Straight up. Yeah. Straight up.
Hello.
Hey. Hey. Bitch, I go by Mike. Straight up.
For sure, this something I could jig to. Baby, watch your feet and let me show you what I'm finna do. I never chase the but
the bag is 101, 7 the Truth. Tory Lowe, Tory Lowe Show. Look, we got more guests in studio. We got Cartier Chris in studio.
Yeah, you
and we got
it.
B Fire in the studio, and we got Thea in studio. We got something coming up. It's Saturday, May 10th. It's called Fire Fest. What's happening then?
What's good? What's good? So we got Fire Fest coming up May 10th. It's a charity event that we're doing for the city and surrounding areas. Just doing something for women, you know?
Then this is for women.
Yep,
and
so it's only women are going to be invited to this event.
What?
No. I'm just playing. Not only women are going to be invited to the event, but it's strictly for women. There's a women DJ. They're all women artists are going to be out there. Thea is the head of the promo team. Yep. She's going to be running the festivities for that. B-Fire is the owner and the management behind all of that. I'm a sponsor on the event. And I just feel like he came to me with this idea and said that it's a great way to give back to the community as far as for women that are kind of like less fortunate, those that have been in like hard situations, you know. The story that he told me was kind of like, it was like kind of heartfelt in a sense. And I'm going to let him kind of more elaborate on that.
Tell us a little bit more about the story behind this Firefest concept.
Firefest is a concert platform that I came up with in 2023. And we've done 9-10 shows now. They're all very different. They're all based on different holidays, themes, events, seasons. You know, any time of the year, you can guarantee that you're going to have a Fire Fest. It's a way to bring artists together, network. Bring
is this a bonfire?
No, it's a concert.
Okay. So the event is fire.
It's like a play on words. It's a play on words.
I was going to say, because on the flyer,
so my name is
B-Fire,
you know, so it's Fire Fest, you know.
That's what's up. I got you. I hear you.
But it's a music platform that I came up with to bring artists together, network, and elevate the city as a whole and bring other communities out to Milwaukee and, you know, just start building a big music community.
And who should we expect when we come, like, artist-wise, like, as far as entertainment?
There is a Chicago record label, Rap Stars of Chicago, that's sending up 11 of their artists, all females. We have Big Lex, Raya Galore, Baby Doll, Ari, a lot of poppy names in the city right now.
Mm-hmm. Diamond Banks.
Maya P.
Maya P didn't, she didn't want to do her fairy thing with it.
Yeah, she didn't want to do the fairy.
But
we'll try to get her next year.
We're very fortunate to have a good 30 some artists, all females on. We have a female DJ, Princess Kalo, up and coming. She's done shows Appleton, Green Bay, Madison, Chicago. So
shout out Princess Kalo.
And where the location is? It looks 7225 North
Prime Social,
76th Street.
Yeah, we're at Prime Social,
right across the street from Legends.
Okay.
Yep.
Prime Social. All right, it's sounding powerful.
So everything at the door is being donated to charities. We have charities from Milwaukee to Chicago that we're giving to women's shelters, you know, organizations for single mothers. There's a connection I have over at FSET on 20th and Wells. They have several organizations that do with single moms and abused women also that we're taking clothing donations, baby formula, the Pampers, you know, anything that we can do to support these women.
That's what's up.
You know, so, you know, you can donate money at the door, any amount. It's a $10 entry fee for ladies, $20 for guys all night long. We're running 5 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Sounds like an event that it should be powerful when it comes to helping give back to the community.
Yeah,
I agree.
Is there any way to get tickets or to get more information?
So it's all pay at the door. I figure it's less hassle to do pay at the door instead of, you know, physical tickets or anything like that, you know? Any information that you want is going to be on our Facebook or Instagram pages, Firefest MKE.
Is this the first year or this is an annual event?
So we do multiple events every year. This specific one is our 10th event that we're doing.
Okay.
Yeah, so in general, Firefest is kind of like a seasonal thing. So it could be like Easter, it could be Valentine's Day, there'd be a Firefest event triggered around the seasons.
This one particular is around Mother's Day. It kind of ties into like what he was saying earlier about how, you know, there's a lot of women that are less fortunate. They're going through a lot of troubles in their lives. We kind of want to do an event that kind of pertains to them in a sense.
And there'll be resources, I figure.
Yeah, there'll be resources.
If they get there, there'll be resources.
Correct. Yep. For them to, you know.
Information that they can use.
Correct. Yeah. Yep.
That's powerful.
Yep.
Hey, I'm going to start directing people to the Fire Fest. Because
you got to come. You got to come.
It seems like the Fire Fest is in my inbox. A lot of people calling for help. I mean, they need the resources.
All right.
Thea, is anything that we haven't said that maybe you should get out the word to the community?
Not at the moment. No.
Be Fire, tell them a little bit about like the reason why you came to me and tell me about the behind them.
This specific one I wanted to do for women, it kind of hits home a little bit more for me. About 5 years ago, I had a cousin of mine that passed away from a domestic violence situation. They went to a local Milwaukee women's shelter for abused women, got turned away because there was no beds available, no resources available. Then 24 hours, they found her body.
Oh, wow.
So the boyfriend found out that she went to go get help, and he lost it. So it's very sad, very unfortunate. Oh, wow. And, you know, this wouldn't have necessarily happened had there been proper resources and availability, you know, if the shelters, because they're all not-for-profit themselves, you know, if they had proper funding, proper assistance, you know, like it's no fault of their own. It's just they don't have the abilities all the time to help. So I figured doing this is a good way to give back and help people that need the help and, you know, give them that extra boost to do more.
Certainly agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Anything else that y'all want to say before we run the break that the community need to know and information on how to stay tapped in on what y'all trying to do?
Yeah. So all platforms, Firefest MKE. If you want to be a part of an event, you can inbox Thea. I'll have her drop her socials.
T-H-E-A underscore T-H-E-A 414.
Yeah, so she's my team manager. So if you want to be a part of this or upcoming events, you know, and help push it, promote it, you know, empower it.
And down to make some money.
You know, she's in charge of all that. So just inbox her, you know, and be a part of the team.
We need you.
You can also check out Dear City Music page. We're going to start putting a lot of the events and stuff back on that page. It's a community page for all events that are going on in the city of Milwaukee. You can also check out MK Direct Social, where a lot of the stuff is going to be happening that they send out for Firefest is going to be promoted on that page as well, too. And give them your Gmail account.
Yep. So my email is official. b.fireproductions@gmail.com.
All right. That's right. I thank y'all for stopping through.
Appreciate that.
Appreciate it.
Firefest, Saturday, May 10th from 5 p.m. to 11 p.m.
Prime Social.
Doors open at 5 p.m. Prime Social. And there's a number, 414-218-4880 for sections and tables.
Yep.
Call, yep.
All right. Thank y'all for stopping through.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. When we come back, Truth Nation, we'll have more conversations. Stay locked in right here on Tory Lowe.